Blog Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Number 14, and you have reached Dr. Number 14's Best SF Show, and this is the March 15th, 2015 edition. Happy St. Patty's Day for those who are Irish in our audience, or for those who just like to celebrate whenever they want to get the chance to. So we've got quite a lineup today because we are reviewing two new shows. Bates Motel, Season 3, Episode 1, and The Returned, a new series that's based on the French series, The Returned. And plus our usual ensemble of shows, Once Upon a Time, The Walking Dead, The Following, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Pretty Little Liars, The 100, the Season 2 finale to that show, Vampire Diaries, and 12 Monkeys. So without further ado, Bates Motel, episode 301, A Death in the Family. It didn't do as well as previous outings in terms of the season premiere, but it still held its own. It had a 0.9 rating with 2.139 million viewers. And we see Norman's bizarre relationship with his mother at the beginning of this episode where he's sleeping with his mom, and Dylan thinks it's weird. His stepbrother. And then Norman is starting up senior year, and Norma tells him about the bad news that her mom passed away. And then Norman is afraid to start up school again. And then his mom drags him out of the car, embarrassing him. And he sees a memorial to Blair Watson. At one point, he sees the image of Blair talking to him. And then she bleeds from the neck, so he races home to Mother and tells her. And so the mother is going to give Norman a promotion to hotel manager. So he doesn't have to go to school anymore. He'll be homeschooled. But she does tell him he can't sleep with her anymore, and he's a little bit upset by that. But Emma finds out her lung capacity has diminished, and Emma wishes she can leave school too. And be homeschooled along with Norman. And Norman thinks they should date, and she hugs him. And meanwhile, a young woman checks into the motel, Attica, and while Norman is changing a light bulb in her room, she says she works at parties that have wealthy men associated with them. And then Norman watches Attica shower at one point by the window. Norma catches him and is upset. And then Norma cries because her mom is dead, and she hugs Norman and wants him by her in bed with her that night. And then Attica is having some problems with her car, and Norman takes Attica to the lounge. Well, actually getting directions to the lounge. And so Norman takes Attica to the lounge in town where she's working, and then Norman comes back in Attica's car by the end of the episode without Attica. She's gone. Wonder what happened to Attica. Did Norman kill her? Probably. So with those blackouts that he experiences, it's odds are that has happened to Norman. Okay, this brings us to The Returned, which is very good. It's a little bit weird because it's like seeing the French series, but done up American style without subtitles. And seeing some familiar faces in terms of the actors from shows like Supernatural and Arrow in it. But it starts out, and it did receive a 0.6 rating because Bates Motel didn't do so good. The Returned didn't do that well, but it did much better than those who kill did last year, which was yanked after two episodes. So the return, episode 101, Camille. 4 years ago, this girl Camille is on a school bus. The next thing you see, the bus going over the cliff with all the kids. Then in the present day, Camille climbs up to the road, walks back to her town, and power mysteriously goes out in the town, and then it just as suddenly returns. And Camille returns home, and she's getting food from the fridge, and Claire, her mom, is shocked as she eats because she assumes she had died. And so she contacts Jack, her ex-husband, who's having sex with Lucy, an employee at the Dogstar Lounge, and she tells him to come over. And basically Jack comes by and Claire says Camille is there and he sees her in the tub and he's shocked too. And they look at her oddly. While this is going on, Dr. Julie Hun sees a young boy waiting by her apartment. She comes out and asks him questions. He doesn't respond, so she takes him inside. And when a woman asks who the boy is, Julie responds his name is Victor. And she feeds him. So this is another of the return, not only Camille, but Victor. And then Peter, a psychologist, talks to Camille. He runs the community center and says he's available anytime to talk. And Peter is a friend of Claire's. And Peter can't explain the reason why she's come back. Then this other returned, a woman walks home. She gets in bed with her husband. Her husband's very aged and everything, and she looks the same. She's the same. He wakes up shocked, and basically what happens is he jumps off by a dam, killing himself, after he calls Dr. Hun and talks to him about his wife. Another return called Simon walks into the Dogstar Lounge, and he's looking for Rowan, a waitress. And Lena leads him to the townhouse, and Simon is banging on the door, and Rowan tells him to go. And then the sheriff, who is Rowan's boyfriend, comes by and says he's there for you. And then finally, Lucy leaves the lounge because Jack gets very upset with Lucy. She takes off and is attacked, knifed by this man, in a tunnel that she's walking through, and she's bleeding out. And then Camille sees Lena, her sister, and Lena cries out. She's shocked. And 4 years earlier, we find that the reason the school bus went off the road was it tried to avoid hitting Victor before going off the road. So all of this is very similar to the first episode of Camille. So I'm wondering if they're going to do any variations. I hope they do variations, because while the return is very good, I would like to see their own interpretation and their own take on it. So there's that. Okay, so now for our Sunday night lineup, and because those were the two Monday shows, we can talk about Once Upon a Time and The Walking Dead. Okay, Once Upon a Time, episode 414, Unforgiven. It dropped just slightly in the ratings from a 2.2 to a 2.1 with 6.72 million. And basically, Mary Margaret is having dreams about the trio, the unholy female trio, and Maleficent wants to take her baby and says they will pay for what they did. And so we have a flashback to the other time with Snow and Charming return home from their honeymoon. They find the kingdom asleep. Maleficent is the cause, putting a sleeping curse on them. And Cruella and Ursula are there too, and they want to make a deal. And they need to consult the Tree of Wisdom to defeat the evil queen. But only the two most valiant heroes are needed to do this, and that's why they come to Snow and Charming. So Snow and Charming find the tree. They ask it how to stop the queen's curse. And it sends them reeling backwards, and the tree doesn't give them an answer. And Maleficent knows she's carrying a child. Snow is carrying a child. And the child might be capable of great darkness along with great good. And that's why the tree didn't answer. So Maleficent appears to Snow a little bit later in her chambers, and she says she's pregnant too, but Snow does not want to become like her. Okay, so while that's going on in the present world, Ursula steals a wooden box at Goad's place using one of her tentacles. Meanwhile, Goad is underground and he's unearthing these ashes of Maleficent. And so the sheriff finds the box in DeVille's car, but tells Emma the car is clean, but he took something from the box that was taken. And it's Maleficent's totem, they say. And Snow and David deduce they're going to resurrect her, so they need to find her remains. And so Snow and Charming are in the mines under the library looking for Maleficent's ashes. They find them, but are knocked out. And basically, Cruella slits David's and Mary Margaret's palms. They put the blood on the ashes, and Maleficent is reborn. And she doesn't want to kill them. She wants to cause Snow and David great pain. Afterwards, Mary Margaret wants Regina to infiltrate their ranch. And Mary Margaret tells Regina that Emma is born for the potential for great evil. And then at the end of the episode, we see Maleficent's totem, and she puts a little thing on it, and it becomes a rattle. And so basically, she lost her own child, she admits. So something with Emma as a child, Maleficent, Maleficent's child, all of this is interrelated. And I know they're going to bring Prince Stefan or King Stefan into this too. So it ought to be really interesting what they do with Maleficent in this storyline. So I really liked it. So two thumbs up definitely for Once Upon a Time. Okay, now we have The Walking Dead, episode 913, Forget. And it dropped down a little bit in the ratings from a 7.5 to a 7.3 with 14.534 million viewers. So Sasha gets these family pics from these homes, sets them up in the woods. So I apologize. So let's play our Walking Dead theme song, and then we'll review Walking Dead once again. We unfortunately got disconnected. So let us play our Walking Dead theme song, okay? And then we'll basically... Okay, so on Walking Dead, as I said, Sasha sets up family pictures in the woods and uses them as target practice, and she hits them on and says, come and get me. Meanwhile, Rick, Darrow, and Carol see a W etched in the forehead of a zombie that they kill, so we don't know what's going on there. And then Rick is wearing a constable outfit. Michonne is in a cop jacket. And Rick tells Deanna they need a lookout in the tower. And Sasha wants to be the primary lookout, but she has to be there for the official welcome that Deanna is giving them. So while this is going on, Darrow tries to get a wild horse called Buttons, but the zombies come and they need to put Buttons down. They need to put down the zombies, and Buttons takes off. And the zombies then at one point tear up Buttons, and Darrow disposes of them. But he remains outside instead of joining the party. Then Darrow is invited at the neighbor's for spaghetti. Meanwhile, Carol opens a window latch so Rick can take their guns back. And Deanna throws that welcome party, as I said, and Rick meets Deanna's husband, Reg. And Sasha joins the party too. And Darrow is asked to be another recruiter, but Darrow thanks the neighbor and says he doesn't have, thanks him. He says he doesn't have anything else to do, so he'll consider it. Meanwhile, Carol starts stealing guns, and the child follows her, and Carol threatens him if he tells anyone, says he will be tied outside to a tree, and the monsters will come and tear him apart. And afterwards, no one will know what happened to him. Then Rick kisses the married woman, the girl, for holding his child, and she just smiles back. So something's going to happen there. And then Sasha starts freaking out at one point. She yells at the one who wanted to make her favorite food. And Darrow refuses to take the guns that Carol has, but Rick takes one because Darrow is starting to like the community. And Michonne is getting used to the community as well, and she hangs up her sword on the wall. So a lot of just acclimation is setting in. And so they have, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, 3 more episodes to go for the season. So can't wait for the cliff to see what this town is all about. So this now brings us to the following, episode 302, Boxed In. And it reached an all-time series low, which is really good for Sleepy Hollow, because Sleepy Hollow got a 1.4 for its finale, and the following in its second outing is doing worse than the Sleepy Hollow finale. And Sleepy Hollow never reached a rating below 1.4 or 1.3. So, and I think, too, because Sleepy Hollow is on Saturday night, in repeats, even though we have not yet been given word on its renewal, I'm willing to bet it does get renewed, Sleepy Hollow. They need to get a new showrunner, but with the new showrunner and going back to the episodic type of elements of each storyline its first season, I think it will do very well. Okay, so let's go to the following theme song. Hold on. As we do this, so here, well, it's under the, or the following. Sorry. Here we go. So in the following, Boxed In, which is very prophetic of what happens in this, Ryan is able to ID Andrew. He's Andrew Sharp, and Andrew got a call from Mark when he escaped, and Andrew tells Mike and Ryan to confess in terms of what they've done in terms of killing Mark's mother. Meanwhile, Anna comes home, and she finds 2 glasses of wine, so she thinks her husband's there. But Daisy and Kyle are there, the serial killer couple. And they strap Anna to a chair and want her to get her husband home. So she calls him saying she has a migraine and he's coming home. And they are able to identify Mark's truck on the video, the FBI agents. So they get there to this car repair shop. But Mark gets out via a vent that leads to the sewers, and Mike is ready to get shot, but Ryan is but Ryan shoots Mark's accomplice. But Mark still is able to escape. Then the man comes home, and he's basically Ryan's FBI agent buddy, Jeff Clark, and his superior, actually, one of his superiors. And he gets shot, and his wife, Anna, is suffocated with a bag over her head. But Ryan gets her breathing again, but Jeff is taken. And Mark transmits a message to the FBI and wants Ryan to tell the truth that he's executed his mom or Jeff is going to die. What happens by the end of this episode is Jeff escapes and gets a call and calls Ryan, and Jeff tells him he's in a warehouse, and Kyle knocks Jeff out, but they want Jeff to confess. And finally, he does confess, and he basically says Lily Gray was executed in cold blood, and they relay this video to Ryan and the others. And he also says that he sanctioned an illegal special ops unit headed by Hardy, and he wants absolution. So Ryan, Mike, and Max find this box, and basically Jeff is inside of it because Neo, another killer that they've contacted, Neo has created a box, and he's going to paralyze Jeff and then dislocate all of his joints and fold him up and put him in the box. And he will be aware of everything that he feels. Well, they crammed Jeff in the box. They never showed what was inside the box. But Ryan takes it off very hard. And at the end, his girlfriend hugs him in the shower. So I did like the episode. I wish they would have a new killer than Mark, though. And I think that's why people aren't seeing it and aren't watching it as much as they used to, because it's losing some ground here from the second season, from definitely the first and second season. So there we are with that. So the next thing is Pretty Little Liars on Tuesday night. Oh, by the way, The Flash and iZombie, new series, which we'll be reporting on next week, Tuesday night. And then Arrow and Supernatural. And Supernatural is going to be shifting to Wednesday night now that The 100 has finished its run. So can't wait for the CW shows to return. And I think Grimm is going to be returning too on Friday night. Okay, so this brings us now to Pretty Little Liars. So let me play our theme song, and then we can talk about episode 523, The Melody.
A secret, can you keep it? Swear this one you say. Better lock it in your pocket, taking this one to the grave. In a show you that I know you won't tell what I said. Cause two can keep a secret if one of them is dead.
Okay, so I'm Pretty Little Liars. The Melody Lingers On. It picked up a little bit in the ratings. There's only one more episode of this for the season, a 0.9 with 1.74 million viewers. Spencer's mom doesn't want the girls going to Allie's trial, especially Spencer, but she does anyway. And Allie calls Emily and wants her to be there at her trial. Emily promises she will be, and she and Aria are there the next day and the trial proceeds. Meanwhile, Hannah is in prison now. And Barjak calls Arias, and they hear French music in the background. And Hannah heard that music before in Mona's room. So they're going to search Mona's room because maybe Mona left a clue. And Jason now is put on the stand and now denies Allison killed Mona. And lawyer tries to get Jason to admit Hannah's mom, Ashley, caused him to change his testimony. Meanwhile, Ashley wants Ted to go, but Ted made a promise to her and says they can't get through this. Meanwhile, the liars hear music in Mona's room. It's a record. It's that French music. They pry a hand mirror off and see phrases that are printed on paper, like chandeliers, ritual, and things like that. And then Allie tells Jason to leave now. So the trial is proceeding. We're just going to have to see what happens in the final episode, the finale of season 5 on Pretty Little Liars. This brings us to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I really think it's gotten a kick in the ass right now because it's doing much better than previous episodes, these last 2 weeks in particular. Episode 212, Who You Really Are. It did reach an all-time series low, however, from a 1.6 to a 1.5 with 3.8 million viewers. In Portugal, the lady Sif is walking out of the waters, and she's looking for Kava, and she's suffering from amnesia. So the police are holding Lady Sif. Coulson is brought in to talk to her, but she can't remember why she left Asgard. But they do have a video of a man beating Sif and throwing her in the water. So Coulson and the team investigate the pier. It's not blood he spilled. He has liquid nitrogen in him. And Bobby believes he might be at the local hospital getting more liquid nitrogen. So Sky and Bobby find him. Bobby is tossed aside, but Sky causes a quake and the man escapes. And his skin was blue, and the nitrogen is making, the reason he's taking in nitrogen is making his skin pink. And you might recognize this creature called the Kree because he's also one the lead on Warehouse 13, Pete. So that was cool. So Sif says Kaba is Kree for keys. And so the Kree was heading to Chavez, Portugal. And Chavez means keys. So Sky wants to sit this one out while Coulson finds the Kree. And they are able to restrain him and put him on the bus. And apparently he took Sif's memory so she would stop tracking him. And they want to use his truncheon to restore Sif's memories. And they do. And Lady Sif has her memories back. And the Kree says a faction of theirs used Terrigen Christos in the Diviner to transform humans. And they have to find the last of the Diviners. Otherwise, this faction, this Kree faction, can't create an army on Earth. And someone took them in the 1940s, and they have to find them. Well, interestingly, we know that Sky is one of those where the Terrigen Christos was put on her, and she's been transformed as a result. So Sky starts a minor quake again, and Coulson finds out Sky is doing it, and she smashes the glass too, and Sif wants to take Sky to Asgard. But May is able to get Sky away, and the Kree is pursuing them and defeats Hunter and Mac, but Fitz zaps the Kree. And then May puts Sky in a cell, and Sif tries to penetrate the force field, but Sky shoots herself, Kree, to his home planet. And they get zapped back to Asgard because Coulson wants to deal with Sky on his own. And Sky locks herself in the cell. And then Mac knocks Hunter out because he's getting too close to what he and Bobby are doing. So again, lots of stuff happening on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I sort of like. Okay, this brings us to the Wednesday night lineup. And there was only one show, the 100, episode 216, Blood Must Have Blood, part 2. And unfortunately, it reached its all-time season low from a 0.5 to a 0.4 with 1.34 million. Well, a lot of stuff happens. Jaha and the others are on a boat. They follow this drone on the ocean. They find land. And the sea creature hits the boat and takes one of them and hits the boat again, causing it to leak. And then it disappears. So Jaha gets safely to land along with Murphy. They see the drone. And it's monitoring them, so Jaha follows the drone. And by the end of it, what happens is, let me see here. What happens is Jaha follows the drone, and Murphy is able to find a bunker. And he finds the door, opens it, and hears music coming from the inside. And it's a habitable chamber with alcohol, pool table, food, all of that. So Murphy hears this video transmission, too, and he sees a man shoot himself dead. Meanwhile, Jaha follows the drone, and it leads him to a building. And a girl in red greets him. She's a hologram, a computerized hologram called Ali, and she was waiting for Jaha. And she leads him to the missile that he came down in. So that's how that concludes. That storyline sort of concludes on a cliff for the 100. Meanwhile, Octavia is waiting in the tunnel. She's on her own. She runs into Clark. Bellamy opens the door. The rest of them, Jasper and Maya, are there. And Maya only has one oxygen tank left. So they're going to find Dante. Meanwhile, Cage is holding the kids prisoners, and Dante is the president, by the way. Cage is holding the president's son. Cage is holding the kids prisoner, and plus the adults Kane and Clark's mom. And Raven is next to be harvested, so she is subdued and they drill into her. And while Bellamy and Clark find Dante and they take him. And so Jasper, Octavia, and Maya get to level 5 and they're going to kill Cage. And then Clark contacts the guard and communicates with Cage. And she threatens to kill Dante if Cage doesn't let her people go. And Clark is ready to shoot him. And she does shoot Dante and threatens to irradiate level 5 from the command center. Clark's mom is put on the table next, and they drill into her and take her blood. And so basically Clark and Bellamy activate the switch. They flood the chamber with radiation. The mountain men start dying, including Maya. Octavia is able to free her people, and Clark and Bellamy meet up with the grieving Jasper, who lost Maya. And Clark is reunited with her mom, and Kane tells Bellamy that they did good, even though all these people have died. Meanwhile, Cage is outside, and Lincoln cuts off his hand, and he poisons him by injecting him with the poison. And the people return to Camp Jaha, but Clark decides to leave the camp because she can't bear the guilt over all the people that she's killed. So a lot of stuff happened on the 100. I still like this show immensely. So I thought the first season had better storylines with the two, with the alternating on Earth storyline with the in space storyline. But they are still alternating a couple storylines together. Okay, this brings us to The Vampire Diaries, episode 616. The Downward Spiral, and it reached its all-time series low, along with the 100, a 0.6. It dropped from a 0.7 from the previous week with 1.3 million. And a lot of stuff happened on Vampire Diaries, so a lot of people are going to have to play catch-up with the Vampire Diaries to see all that happened. But let me play the theme intro to The Vampire Diaries. And then continue. So Caroline has turned off her humanity just because she lost her mom. Stefan couldn't admit he loved her. So Caroline is making a pass at Liam, and then she bites him savagely. But then she tells Elena and Bonnie, who find her later, that she did not kill Liam. All she wants from them is a promise to be left alone for a year as her humanity is turned off. At this rave, a man gets fresh with Bonnie and he says she's hot, and he basically burns hot as a result. So Bonnie has come back with these souped-up powers. And then Stefan sees Caroline at the club and tells her how he feels, but she walks away. Then Damon takes Kai to the rave because Kai wants to apologize to Bonnie, and Bonnie says if she sees his face again, she will melt it off. And then Caroline meets up with Sarah Salvatore, and she's going to kill her. And what she does is she compels Liam to start performing surgery on Sarah. And so if Stefan wants to save Sarah, he has to turn off his humanity. And Elena, fortunately, is able to save Sarah from Liam. And we also find out, too, that Damon's mom, Lily, is not buried in a casket. Damon digs her up. But she's trapped in this 1903 prison world. And Kai tells Damon that Lily is a ripper. She faked her death, killed over 3,000 people. And so Kai's coven imprisoned her. And so now what has to happen is Damon wants to go to 1903 to seek out his mom with Kai's help. And Stefan decides to turn off his humanity to help Caroline. And so Stefan is now with Caroline, and they both have their humanity off. So it's going to be like a Bonnie and Clyde series of episodes, I think, before the end of the season. And I really wasn't able to predict that coming. So all of this. So it's got an interesting turn of events, and it's flowing logically from her losing her mom. So yeah, it's pretty good. Her losing Liz. So now finally, 12 Monkeys, and they have done so many time jumps in this series, and this is one of them. Episode 109 tomorrow. I didn't want to play that again, but it finally is picking up in the ratings. Ordinarily, it was like a 0.18, a 0.2. It finally has picked up to a 0.3. And because of the pickup, it has been picked up for a season two. Woohoo! Not so Helix, and I did not have enough time to see Helix. But that's pretty encouraging news. Well, so in 2017, in Chechnya, Co discovers that 31 million have died from the plague. And so basically, he's able to meet up with Cassie, and Cassie faints in his arms, and she's dying, and Cassie gives him an address. And Co's life depends on it. She says he will find the answer she's looking for, and she dies, and Co gets splintered back to the future. Now, what happens in the future is Katerina Jones says to the others that Colonel Jonathan Foster's vaccine is not going to work. They need his core. So basically, Jones visits Foster, tells him she needs it, and then shoots him point blank in the chest. And Katerina and her troops storm Foster's place, Project Spearhead. They kill over half over there, and they get the core. And unfortunately, Marcus's one that works with her. Marcus's father dies along with a lot of the others. So they start installing the core at the facility, and basically they're able to retrieve Cole. But then Ramsey turns on Cole at the end, says Jones killed half of Spearhead, and Cole says he is going to protect Dr. Jones from him at all costs. But Ramsey is feeling some pain, too, because he's finally reunited with Elena, his girlfriend, fiance, and Sam, their kid, and he felt maybe there was a better way. And now, because Elena feels she's been betrayed, she's on her own, she doesn't want to join up with the group over at the facility, the Splinter facility. So that's it for all the episodes this week. And we made it in plenty of time, so let us play some theme songs. And then we'll be back next week. Until next week, sleep tight.
Yeah. Bye-bye.